It's a brand new series of GLOW, the
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling!
Woohoo! I love that, with a full recap of episode 9 and 10 coming up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Got it. Yeah, it's just, yeah, like, music, it sounds better. If I don't have the music, I'm like, what's going on?
Your singing was on point, though.
Yeah.
It sounded exactly like this. I love it.
Oh, well, there's so much going on right now in the studio, and I have to say I'm sad. It's our last podcast.
I know.
For this season.
Yeah, because then, of course, there's going to be a second season and a fifth season and a tenth season. I see this going long. But I have to tell you, I am so excited because in the studio today, sitting next to me, is a very dear friend and the founder of GLOW, David McLean. Welcome to the show.
Yes,
thank you. Didn't tell me we're going to have Ric Flair in the studio. I love it.
Some version.
I know. I love surprises.
He said Rick and Candace, and then Ric Flair walks in. I love it.
I do too.
The shades. Yeah. Can you get up and do the walk?
Oh, the walk. Yeah, they wouldn't be able to catch it, but I can kind of. I just can't do his face plant. That's too good.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's go around the room real quick and introduce ourselves for those of you who are just joining us for the first time. My name is Little Egypt, and you can find me on Twitter at Little Egypt. And next to me is David McLean. Where can people find you?
Well, they have to go to WOW, Women of Wrestling. It's WOWE.com is the website, and the social media handles are all at WOW Superheroes.
Super easy.
Ooh, I like
cool.
that.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
Isn't that easy?
It's
all
perfect.
Of them, Candace. Yeah. At WOW Superheroes.
All straight across the board. See, that's great marketing right there. Just straight across makes it easy.
It makes it really easy. Yep.
Yeah. And hey, guys, my name is Candace Cruz, and you can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
And in order to be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo! And you can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, RickHong.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, yes. Rick, I'm going to so miss all of your weekly surprises. It's been so fun.
Hey, other seasons I got more. Other seasons I got more.
Oh, no,
more.
He's switching out the glasses and everything.
Yeah.
Wardrobe change.
I think it's interesting.
Don't take the wig
on,
off,
like,
though.
No. Oh, no, the wig stays on.
Yes. It's too good to be true. Right.
So, David, what we do is we recap episode. We're recapping episodes 9 and 10. But before we do that.
The final two.
Oh, my gosh. It was so amazing. But I think your story is just as equally as amazing. Can you tell people a little bit about how GLOW came to fruition when you were 25 years old, really? Did it start then or did it start a lot?
Probably started when I was 14 and I went to a wrestling match with Sam Miniker and Dick the Bruiser, and they had women's wrestling on the show at the State Fair, and that's where I first saw women's wrestling.
Oh, okay.
And I grew up in the Midwest, was fortunate enough with a buddy of mine, Scott Romer. We took pictures at matches and traveled around, and we were introduced to wrestling. And then there was a match in Indianapolis between Princess Jasmine and Candy Devine. She's a lady wrestler from the South. Princess Jasmine was from Chicago. They wrestled. We had a thing where some water went into one's face at the end of the match. The crowd went wild. And I got on the microphone. I was the announcer by then. And I said, "How would you like to see a women's wrestling match?" And the crowd went crazy. And I just went with it and said, "And put them in a cage for the first time."
Oh, wow.
And the crowd went even more wild. And that was the seed that dropped for women's wrestling. I went downstairs. I told my boss, who was Dick the Bruiser, "We're going to do women's wrestling." He looked at me like, "Are you a moron?" He goes, "The main event is me next, and you got the crowd all jacked up. You're supposed to put the women on to have them go to the restroom and get the popcorn so they're ready for the main event." And I said, "They're going to love it. This is going to be a brand new entertainment for them. Women wrestling, main event style." And he said, "No one's ever going to watch it or pay to see it. Forget it." And that was the seed. One thing I love to hear is no.
Right.
When I hear no,
Fuel a fire.
Yeah.
Candace, you hear no, you got, that's just the beginning to get
fight.
A yes, right?
Yeah, it's exactly what you got to do. I love it.
Exactly. So that was the seed.
Take us to the Riviera Hotel. How did you get to that point?
I put up flyers in Indianapolis at different gyms. I was kicked out of several, figuring I'm a pervert of some kind looking for women wrestling. A friend of my family told me, get on a plane and go west. I'd never been past St.
Go
Louis.
Go west, my son. Go
and
west.
And go to California. I called up Derek Barton. If Derek's listening, I think he's still the head over at Gold's Gym at the last Sanctuary of Heaven in Venice Beach. And I just pitched him my idea, and I said, I need a place to host for casting. And he said, you got Gold's Gym, and he gave it to me for free.
That's awesome.
And I flew out here, and I'll give you a quick little tidbit. I flew out. Now, I grew up in wrestling. I grew up in the world of cash. So I went to the rental car place at LAX, and I said, I have a rental car reserved, because I'd called, and I said, I'm going to pay you. And they go, well, we need a credit card. I said, what do you mean a credit card? They said, we got to have a credit card. I didn't even have a credit card. I didn't know what a credit card was. And so I said, how much is the car worth? And the person said it. And I reached down, pulled down my sock, lifted up my pant. I pulled out about 10 grand in cash. And I said, here, I'll just give you a down payment and pay you for it. And you give me the money back. Guy looked at me. Had to take a taxi to Gold's Gym. So that's an interesting note. That shows how young I was and dumb and naive.
Wow.
So went to Gold's Gym. Big line around the block. I'd say 400, 500 people, including some men. I kept going, why are there some men dressed up in wigs?
Great. Smart. Yeah, they're trying.
They were 30 years ahead of the time before Miss Jenner. So... anyway, I went in. We interviewed everyone. The second casting call, which Cindy mentioned Americana last week, was held up at the Hyatt Regency on Sunset by the Comedy Store.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And that was where I held the second casting call. And that's where I thought I was a genius because I told everyone... I was back in Indianapolis dialing, trying to find a gym. Where can we train? And I found one, and I got one with two rings in it. Oh. And I talked to the owner and his son, Howard. If Howard's out there, call me. I'd love to see you after 25 years. And Howard's dad owned this gym, and it was the Broadway Gym at 108th and Broadway. And I told the girls in the room, and Cindy was correct, and the Glow series was correct, when Sam came out and said, you know, this is women's wrestling, and half of them got up off the bleachers and left. Yeah. That's true. Because when I walked
in,
I said, this is a wrestling show. And by the way, Cindy Moran was sitting right there. She was the second Glow wrestler hired in my mind. The first was Hollywood, who you also had on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Americana Cindy Moran.
And they got up and left, half of them. And I said, listen, we got a great place to train. It's at 108th and Broadway. And the girls looked at me like, this guy has got to be a moron. And I said, what's wrong? They go, that's down in Watts. How are we going to go down there at night? It's 8 o'clock. Long story short, we went down there. We started training. We did have an incident. Tammy Jones' husband, Frank, was protecting one of the wrestlers as she parked her car. Oh, I had to hire limousines to take the girls. We would meet at the Hyatt and drive in a limousine and go into the gym up these big, long stairs. If you ever saw the movie Showtime, Davenant, it's that tough guy. Anyway, the gym looks just like that. Frank handled somebody. It didn't go over well. Howard came to me and said, David, we got a problem tonight. I said, what's the problem? He goes, your security guy downstairs, Tammy Jones's husband, touched somebody or roughed him up or whatever. I go, what's the problem? He was protecting one of the girls. The 100 and whatever street gang, motorcycle Whoa. Gang is downstairs, and that's one of their guys. And... we got to shut down. I said, there's no way I can shut down. We got to get these wrestlers train. I had to go downstairs. Remember, this is the day of Miami Vice, Don Johnson and Tubbs. Yeah. I think I'm in my white suit with my little turquoise t-shirt. And I went downstairs and I met the head of the gang. And he had, I don't know, was it 10 or 15 guys around him? It was not a comfortable
sight. Yeah, a little scary.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And we ended up, I won't bore you with the whole story, but we ended up, I said, you know, we got to help Howard here. Howard's gym. He's making the money on it. I said, why don't we hire you guys as the new security?
Yeah, smart. I was thinking that. Yeah, smart. That's
absolutely
smart.
And they became the security, and that's where we trained the original Glow Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
How did Mondo fit into all this? Who hired him?
I did, and Mondo was the trainer, and then I don't know if he had work with the AWA, Vern Gagne, whatever. He could not continue, and we brought in Princess Jasmine, and that story's left out of everybody's memories.
Yeah,
she came in from Chicago, left her job, and trained the girls to get us to Las Vegas. And before that, I knew I had to go to NAPTI, but I had no clue how to go, nor did I know how much money it was going to cost. Being naive and dumb is
this is the one when it was sometimes. In New Orleans, right?
Yes. Okay. So I had met an attorney who introduced me to the head of a syndication company, Independent Network, Irv Hollander, who introduced me to Matt Simber, who introduced me to Mr. Rickless, and there was a partnership then formed. And that's how they became involved. And thank God they did, because it takes a lot of cooks to make a good kitchen, and without them there wouldn't have been a Glow. And subsequently, that's how it came about to be in Las Vegas. There was no scripted design. I was flying by the seat of my pants.
Right.
As most amazing things happen.
Yes. It's
pretty much by the seat of your pants.
This is, you can archive this recording right now.
Because no one knows that story.
Nobody knows that story.
Because I've never done interviews before. I only did it because of Little Egypt calling me up.
Oh, that's awesome. We're honored for you to be here.
I only did this interview because Angela called. She has been the number one spearheader to keep Glow alive. And without her, there was no Glow documentary. Without the documentary, there was no producers of the Netflix show watching or understanding or knowing of Glow. And with the documentary, the brand has been given rebirth. And it's paying homage to its 80s celebration. So with that, if you ask me the number one seed to create Glow in this era, it's sitting next to me.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And that's the truth.
Unexpected, but appreciated. Thank you.
And I was lucky to work with all these people. From Susie Spirit, who's our attorney for Wild Women of Wrestling. Wild Women of Wrestling is Susie Spirit. And I was the luckiest guy in him in the world, because I still have friendships with everyone that worked in Glow to make it a success.
Wow. So one of the things, because I was working on the documentary for 2.5 years, these are missing components. These are questions that people have wanted to know for over 30 years, right. You know, and because the history can't be followed on one continuous thread, because I never met Princess Jasmine, so I didn't know about Princess Jasmine. I knew Americana trained, I knew Royal Hawaiian trained, I knew who I saw. And then just from like word of mouth depictions of personal testimonies is how this story is forming. So the missing link is sitting right here. And so if you don't mind me just taking a few more minutes to try
amazing.
Okay. So that being
and
said...
And interrupting you, I didn't agree to do the documentary.
I was about to ask. I wanted this. That was the one big question that I wanted to know.
I know it was coming for two reasons. One, the producers did not articulate to me what the type of a story they were doing. For their sake and the sake of Glow and I hope she's doing better, the fact that Angela reached out, found Mount Fiji, and threaded Mount Fiji into the story is what made that documentary. Without Mount Fiji without the cause to gather the troops together for a reason, and Angela busting butt to make the phone calls to get the team together, it wouldn't have happened, and the documentary would not have been a success. It's a heart-touching documentary because of that. And once again, that documentary came together, like much like GLOW did, mm-hmm. without a great design. And it came together by all good karma coming together and making it a success. But at the time they reached out to me, they still couldn't articulate what they were doing. And I wasn't going to participate in something that wasn't going to be spot on. Mm. So the story's never been told totally, ever.
Right.
Yes. Yes, that has been one of the key elements that we wish we would have captured. And Matt Simber feels the same way. When he was asked to do the interview, he wasn't quite sure how he was going to be depicted or portrayed. Mm. And so he obviously withheld his interview as well for those reasons, which are fair and valid. Mm. Because you don't really know how someone's going to portray you. And so by holding off is not a bad thing. Right. It just definitely was the direction and how this organically evolved. But what we can't...
And it wouldn't have evolved without you.
Golly.
You know,
I did not pay David to say
that. I can amazing. Actually back what you said about Fiji, because when I was on the red carpet mm-hmm. for GLOW, I interviewed Kimmy Gatewood, and who plays Stacey. And she said that. I asked her, I was like, did you know about GLOW before this? And she talked about the documentary, and she was like, that's one of the things she talked about, was Fiji's storyline for that thing. So what you're saying is 100% true.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And one of the things, those of you who haven't seen the documentary, the good thing is it's streaming right now on Netflix. Mm-hmm. You can watch the series, fall in love with the series, watch the documentary, or before you watch the series, watch the documentary, and you'll mm-hmm. appreciate the little details that went into this series. Mm-hmm. With that being said, I had no idea that Mount Fiji was going to say what she was going to say. I didn't know she loved Matt Simber. I had a huge crush on him.
I knew that.
Did you really?
Certainly.
How did you know that?
Come on.
Oh, I guess everyone knew it, but I wasn't.
We went out partying on a few occasions. You just weren't over 21 at the time
That's
to
right.
go out.
That's right.
And Mount Fiji always wanted to dance with Matt.
Aww.
That's amazing.
That's so sweet. And so she wanted to see him one more time, and she wanted to see the girls one more time. And those girls that got there to the reunion did it without pay. They just got on a plane and they got there for the right reasons. It was the only time in our history that we showed up for a cause, for a reason that was outside of our own personal interests. So every girl that showed up, a lot of them don't even want to give interviews. But when it came to Mount Fiji, they were there for her.
I told you there were two reasons also I didn't do it. And two reasons I don't do any interviews for GLOW. And I only agreed to do today's because of Angela. To me, the essence of all of GLOW's success from when it was born to it lasting as long as it did, even though Matt Simber and Steve Blance did a terrific job of carrying the torch after I left and designed it and did a fabulous job, was the women of GLOW. That was the key. And without them, there was no success. So you got to hand it to them. And I never wanted to go to events and take any light off of the female talent that was there that made GLOW a success. All the way down from the Nanuchkas to the Susie Spirits to the Little Egypts to the Hollywood and Vine, et cetera, et cetera. It's their time to shine.
Yeah, you don't want to be, I'm going to get killed for saying this, but you don't want to be Vince McMahon or his kids. You don't want to be the guy that takes a spotlight. It's like, shouldn't you guys be working behind the scenes and let the wrestlers be the wrestlers? Even though their story angles are always good.
Right. Yeah. But to David's point, GLOW could have succeeded or failed mm-hmm. with the women. We could have either had a hit or a failure. It was up to us to make that happen. And the viewers would not have come back week after week if we weren't putting out the content that was attractive to them. And so, yeah, I loved that the GLOW series is out. And I think a perfect segue would be to, as we're breaking into episodes 9 and 10, that's where all my questions came from. Mm-hmm. Like when I started watching Bash, here we are. I know here's what I think about the Bash producer character. Mm-hmm. Maybe he is not exactly like you, David. Maybe he's a combination.
I never dressed up as Elvis and put a wig on.
I know.
Like Rick.
I know, right? He may not be an exact combination. The combination to me comes from maybe a little bit of you, little Johnny C, a little bit of Rickless, because the money wasn't an issue. You know, they weren't showing Rickless in this. So, and then obviously the party kid who was just like just throwing money out to throw. I mean, without a purpose and an actual vision of where he's going to go with this project. But that being said, when we get to season 9, Bash completely runs out of money. Right? Yeah. Do you remember that?
Mom,
and the whole
mom cuts him off.
Fear. Was Glow ever in that type of a position where we worried about, can we afford to do another show?
Oh, always, always.
And you just didn't know it. See?
No, they weren't telling us.
From day one, we had to put a budget together. There was no such things as Excel spreadsheets in those days. I remember getting a big, long tablet. My brother was our CFO accountant at the time, and I had to write everything in pencil and do a budget and take it to the distributor. And we got our first monies from the distributor as an advance on sales. And then our first check we ever received was from the first Today Home Entertainment by Manny Wolf, the first DVD, it wasn't a DVD then. What were they? Cassettes.
VHS. Yeah, VHS.
VHS. VHS.
Oh, you know what that is?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
So that was the first monies in. And I'm not going to get into it today because it's more of a business deal. But no one, zero, knows the money deals behind Glow. No one, zero. Not even one person has gotten 1% right. I will just drop the seed to say yes. It was always a headache.
So Bash running around like he was about ready to like
was pretty die. Spot on. They had a thing. I'll give you a couple notes in it. First of all, homage to the writers.
Right.
Fantastic.
Sure, Liz and Carly and Genji, yeah.
I get to go to a lot of Los Angeles Laker games because my business partner's their president and she owns the Wild Women of Wrestling. So I meet many celebrities. I want to meet the writers that did Glow on Netflix. I'm putting it out now. Call me or tweet me. Drinks are on me.
Oh,
wow, even better.
I'd imagine they'll sit down with you in a heartbeat.
They did a fabulous job. I mean, it is unbelievable. Yes, it's fictional. Yes, it's not a documentary. Yes, there's exaggerations. There was never any cocaine going on, I can tell you that. No, I would have known, but
no drug robot?
None. And Matt doesn't even drink. Matt Simber never drank, never does drugs. He loves to play tennis. He was healthy. He used to beat me in tennis a lot. We used to play. And he did none of that. If he had any vice, he liked to go play a little poker at night. That's it. And I used to only drink basically what I drink now, wine. I didn't even drink. So all that when a machine came out and there were these pills. I went, wow, these writers really got creative. But other than that, they nailed a lot of scenes. And one of the scenes they nailed was Mark and the producer guy, and they are doing a film and da-da-da-da, and there's a comment in it where they looked at each other because they had a relationship. Yeah. The director just wants to direct. The other guy's thinking of the money and the producing and more the wrestling, which was somewhat true. And he says, I think we got a good team. And that was spot on. It was the team that made Glow. It was Matt's creativity with the writing, with the guy from New York, Steve Blantz, that added a dimension I would not have brought to the show creatively. They'll hate this. I did approve most of the stuff, but not all of it. Some of it I thought was a little too off the wall. But that said,
what could that possibly have been? We were on this razor edge.
A few things. But that creativity, along with the performers who brought their creativity to the characters, ooh, you had a great recipe in the blender for success.
Yeah, I remember when I was watching episode 9 and I'm watching Bash have to kind of go to his mom, and you could see how his mom was not interested at all. She thought wrestling was trashy, that her son, it was beneath him to affiliate with wrestlers, and to even like wrestling was an embarrassment to her. You came up as a fan of wrestling from the age of 14, but was your family supportive?
Oh, they were supportive of me, but I'd say the same thing. Even when I told my mom when I was going to go to my first match at 13, my dad said, let him go. If he goes and sees it's not real, mm-hmm. he'll never want to go again. And my mom did say, I don't want him to go see that trash. Now, that said, unlike the GLOW series, my mom really fell in love with the talent. And I don't know, were you at my mom's house in Indy?
No. Or,
my mom came home one afternoon. We were in Indy going on a tour after GLOW, and I needed a train, and we were at the Hoosier Dome, and we had to move out because the Colts were coming in. We took the ring up to my house in Indianapolis, and my mom came home from the afternoon, and there's 25 wrestlers in the backyard training. She was lit up, but she ended up cooking everybody dinner that night.
Aww.
And so the terrorist was there. The terrorist, Janine, the Palestina, she was there. Matilda the Hun was there. She put my dad and a few of his friends in headlocks. So anyway, it was all fun. But things like that, they did, and that's why I want to meet them. I don't know how they got the tip of so many things correctly. And then not only from the tip, they got the whole thing correct on so many levels. And not to be that it was a documentary, but they really hit so many things.
Yeah. And yeah, it's crazy how just the music, the relationships the women were having with each mm-hmm. other. And yeah, it's you sit back and go, who were they talking to that had this type of information to share with them? Because so much of it was like, wow, that was spot on, right? So,
and it wasn't from just Ursula, because mm-mm. she didn't come till much later.
Yeah.
I mean, we were already into season two shooting by the time I ever met Ursula, where she came. I think it was Debbie Debutante that suggested she come. I don't know. It was Michelle Duse, who married Jerry Fitzpatrick, our bus driver, and has a kid, and they live in Memphis. I can tell you everything.
Yeah.
Who got married, who didn't, who was sleeping with whom, everything.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's get it juicy, right?
Let's go.
And talk about this AfterBuzz. I got to pay homage to Maria and Kevin for doing this. Unbelievable studio. Anyone out there in Hollywood that gets a chance to come here, this place is the bomb. And what a place to resurrect talent from nothing and give people an opportunity to be on a show like this and TV. It's just amazing.
Now, we love them both, Speedy Recovered and Maria, for sure. And it is an amazing opportunity for like people like myself and Candace and Little Legion to like just talk to different talent, talk about the shows, to learn. It's been nothing but fabulous for me. Yeah.
Well, we have two things today that are special. One's underneath your
don't bring it.
No, not yet.
Okay. Oh.
Special there. And then two, this is not a joke. I do not know Maria's circumstances with WWE. I know she was wrestled for them. I saw her downtown in front of the Staples Center once outdoors. You did a hell of a job. And I know Kevin's a big fan of women's wrestling. I know that for a fact. And they've come to a few Wild Women of Wrestling parties where I've met them personally. So she's recovering, I understand, from the media fabulously. I saw the little thing on social media that they're walking in the malls, the best place for anybody to go for a walk. That's what Kevin said. It's nice and cool, but it's also great because you're never bored. You don't know how far you're walking. And I want to say, you know, you need goals, and Maria probably has 100 of them to get well fast and get moving. But if she wants to jump into the ring get into WOW, Women of Wrestling, Maria, you've got a standing invitation and contract. You or Kevin call, and we will put you in the ring. The only all-female women's wrestling league in existence today. Pays homage to GLOW because all of them were at our big opening at the Belasco 2 months ago. Jeannie Buss owns it, the WOW Women of Wrestling. And Maria, you get well fast, and we want you in the WOW ring. You've got a standing offer to jump into the ring and wrestle.
Do it, Maria. It's worth it. You'll have so much fun. I went to your tapings, David, and your women are badass.
Yes.
The advancement in women's wrestling from the time that I was coming in to where they're at now, it's just night and day.
In the 80s, you'd say, now, are you athletic? I ride the bike. I go do aerobics, the Jane Fonda workout. Can you say that? Anyway.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Holy smokes is what I'll say. Anyway, they come in now. They're banging on the weights. They're ripped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've got a new WOW wrestler coming out, The Beast, who's coming out in season 5. And
She is a beast.
She beats up little Steffi Slays. That poor little girl jumped in the ring and got destroyed. That was all at the Velasco. Oh, yeah. Anyway, back to GLOW. We've got a second surprise today. First was open standing invitation to Maria to get into the WOW Women of Wrestling ring. We'd love to have you. And if you're still in the WWE, we understand. We don't want any contract disputes. Okay, so it's right under this. I brought it in a plastic bag. You may have seen it on Little Egypt's Facebook site earlier, before we started, right?
Yes.
Came in live. I brought it in a plastic sack. You may hold it up.
Are you ready?
This is an original. No one has this.
Oh my God.
That is the original, very, 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 very first t-shirt ever made for the GLOW Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, my this God. This is such a big deal.
You gotta get that framed.
Such a big deal.
Frame it.
I don't want to frame it. I was in Indianapolis visiting my mom, 93 years old and still driving and
good,
kicking.
That's great.
Good for her.
Angela called me and said, will you come do After Buzz? And I did pause for the cause, but I said, yes, I'll do it because of her. And then I went into the basement, and I've got a collection that could fill this whole place of the real GLOW memorabilia.
Wow.
But that is an original that was done for the first opening show at the Riviera Hotel, and I kept it all those years in a locked case.
That is amazing.
And we're going to give it away to a GLOW fan. Now,
how do you do it?
You got to go to @WOWSuperheroes and tell us that you watched AfterBuzz and you're a big fan of GLOW, and we will take your... What would
Jamie,
it be there?
Do it now. Jamie, go do it.
We'll have all the names and we will pick a winner next Monday. Not tomorrow. Next Monday. Give us time
for
the weekend.
Yeah, more people can. Absolutely. That's great.
And we will announce the winner right there and put it up on all of our WOW Superheroes social media. And someone's going to win that. And I'm not even going to autograph it or have Angela. That should go in a case. You got to be a real fan, and that's something special.
Oh man, yes. that is sight for sore eyes.
No, it's awesome,
unbelievable. David, thank you for your generosity. Wow, that's crazy.
That's the real logo.
Yeah.
Let's no one it. Else has the damn real logo either. That thing's been bastardized so many times. That is the right logo. Now, that's I got to give credit where credit's due. Matt Simber's the one that designed the little flower. We were at his house. I was having a beer on his couch. He was watching basketball. And I kept messing with that thing. And he took a little notebook. And he's the one that designed the little flower in the middle of the thing. And I said, why are we going to do a flower? I don't remember his answer. But anyway, we looked at it. And I said, that's it. That's the logo. And that was the end. That's what I took to the... I took it from a white piece of paper and took it down to a graphic person, and that's how we made that.
So whose idea was it to have a crown and not a belt?
I don't remember.
I love the concept, though.
Yeah,
I have no clue. I have no clue.
Interesting, though.
Yeah, you know about crowns.
That's true. You have. We're so happy to have that. That trait. Okay, so what I wanted...
Did you feel great when they put that on
It's the most amazing feeling in the world. Dude, it's like, oh my God, everything that I've worked for. And it's the same thing.
You know, it's funny, when our girls got the crown, David, they felt the exact same way. I mean, they were just like in tears and they're sweaty and it just... Every girl wants a crown on her head. Mm-hmm. Every girl wants to be a princess. Okay, so let's just skip to episode 10, yeah. And let's go right to the matches, because there are just so many things that I want to ask you. And that was when the first match came out, when Beirut, who's the Palestinian, the terrorist character, along with Britannica, have their match. The fans go crazy, name-calling, spitting, throwing cans. Listen, I know we had a tame audience because it was the same people over and over. It was the same group of people, but it was still happening, especially when we went on tour. What did you feel like as our, you know, one of our fearless leaders to have, you know, our girls getting yelled at like that?
I loved it.
You're like, we've arrived. That's awesome.
What?
That was the whole point of having a Russian and the American. And Cindy last week noted on your show, you know, was it in anyone's mind to have an American character? That was done before we even thought up the name GLOW. Mm. The name GLOW, no one knows where that started. Rick, you know where it started?
Other than the acronym for like Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, no clue.
Candace?
No idea.
You even know?
No, I think, but I could be wrong. Go ahead.
Where do you think?
And you might have seen it somewhere?
No. It's okay. In the living room in Indy. We're at a party, and I was telling people about what we're going to start and kept describing it. And they said, well, what's the name of it? The original name is in writing. I found it.
Oh.
And I won't say what it is to confuse people.
Okay. But getting ready to write it down.
It's written down, and it was advertised initially. And I was on the couch, and I said, well, they're going to be gorgeous ladies that wrestle. I just said it like that. They're going to be gorgeous ladies that wrestle. We're going to put them in different outfits. We're going to have costumes. We're going to have music. It's not going to be swimsuits like Moolah and, you know,
the Jane Fonda leotard, right.
And someone then over in this chair said, well, what's their name? And I just sat there, and by just total accident, it was like, again, no design, I said, well, hell, they're the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. They're GLOW. That's it. No design. It just came at a party. GLOW.
Yeah, organic. Yeah. Total organic.
Organic. Like just... And that was it.
Well, you're hearing it here first, folks. Breaking stories left and right on AfterBuzz TV. It's crazy. Wow, so you loved it. You had no problem with the girls getting spit on and yelled at. And we were
in some redneck town down in the south.
Yes.
And Janine the terrorist was already showered. It could have been our first tour night in Miami. It could have been. But I distinctly remember it in Arkansas or somewhere because of the chain link fence. And we did it on several occasions. Janine, I'd be bored after the matches. The girls would go shower. I didn't shower. I was still in my tux. We got to go in the bus or a hotel. And Janine was outside with me, and she'd go, hey, you want me to get these fans riled up? I said, oh, yeah, get them crazy. Get them wild. And so Janine would go out there and spew stuff in her Arabic dialect and say spit on the American flag and stuff. Well, these guys started coming over that chain link fence. And that's when I said, holy smokes again. And I grabbed her. I said, get inside. We're going to have a riot. And the security was out there. It was wild.
Oh, God.
Now, the greatest thing that clicked my mind from the documentary, I think it was the documentary where Chainsaw and Spike were speaking. And they mentioned they had the chainsaw. And the fans thought it was fake. But the chainsaw was legit with the damn thing on it that went round round.
Oh, scary. God. Yeah.
So we were in Miami on the first night. And Matt was there, Steve was there, you were there, because I got a picture of you in the ring doing your little thing, and belly dancing, little Egypt. And the chainsaw was forgotten. So my brother-in-law had to go out on Christmas. We were there Christmas night or the night after Christmas. Night after Christmas, the 26th of December, 1986 or 7. And he had to go find a chainsaw at the, you know, hardware store. He had to go to three different places. No one had one. Finally gets to the arena. moments before their match is to go on. The match has already started. I run in the back. He's back there. I said, get that mother and get it started. And they're cranking and cranking on it and cranking on it. Steve Blance is back there. Finally, they got that mother up. Boom, it went. I said, good. Match is next. Start that match. We're going on right now. Once again, no design. Let's go.
Yeah, just
here
live
come
TV,
Chainsaw
yeah.
and Spike into the arena in the Miami James L. Knight Center, and the Chainsaw is roaring. Some fan went up like this to grab him and put their hand up there, and just in a second, security grabbed him, and I went,
oh my God,
I think I gotta change this idea. Now we get in the ring. It's against the farmer's daughter and the California doll. The California doll's in the ring. The farmer's daughter's backing up. She grabs a chair to put up like this, a wooden one we had. Cuts right through the wood. That blade missed Trudy Adams' kneecap by less than an inch.
Oh, wow. No.
I looked at that right. Boom, I jumped in the ring. Chainsaw starts coming after me with the chainsaw. Now imagine if she tripped on the mat, the apron, or anything.
Oh my God, yeah.
The darn thing was going through my head.
Yeah.
I'm looking her right in the eye, telling her, turn the mother off, turn it off. She thinks this is just part of the show. And I said, turn it off. So, I don't know if she ever did. I can't recall. We got back. Went to the dressing room. I grabbed that chainsaw. I gave it to my friend Steve Reggie. I said, that is the end of that gimmick. There is no more chainsaw
in
Glow.
No.
No, it's good nobody got hurt.
Right?
Woo!
You think?
Lesson learned.
How
yeah.
about dead? Rick, dead!
That too.
So.
Okay, so you... One of the things that I've always said is that David McClain is the best mic man in the business. There is no one that can call a match the way way that David calls a match. There's no one that does an intro better than David McClain. He is the best in the business, and that's a perfect example of what I mean. It is crazy. Like, I just want to sit next to you while you're watching a football game.
I'm not that
the Lakers
passionate.
Game. There you go.
You got to have passion. You got to have passion. You got to love it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
If you don't, the audience knows it in 2 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
They do.
When I came into Glow, you were the first person that I talked to. First, Mount Fiji finds me working in a t-shirt store. I'm 19 years old. I have no prospects for the future. She
picked up right off the street.
Right off the street, yeah. I know, right? Crazy. She saw something in me I couldn't see in myself. I tell people that all the time. She's in the ring. She knows what this business is about. Mm. And she just breathes enough belief into me that I go in, and the first person I talk to is David McClain. And then he hires me. 2 weeks later, I'm in my first match with Chainsaw and Spike. That five blade that he's talking about.
Yes!
And a blowtorch from Spike.
Oh, that's true.
Fire
yes.
paper.
Oh my gosh.
But what was it like for you, David, when the girls were getting hurt? I mean, you know, they were gone. Once they got hurt, they were gone.
I hated it. I hated the ring. We hired a guy to do the ring, and it was never right. And we never got a chance to fix it. And the ring was wrong. And it was too much like a boxing ring. And it was terrible. And we never had time. Now, you know, getting into details. Then once the Riviera changed that room to be shared, when they wanted it to be shared
mm-hmm.
with Crazy Girls...
Mm-hmm.
We could never get the darn thing out. I screamed over and over, I got to move this out. I want this thing out. Matt was upset about we got the ring pushed even against the wall more. We lost control. It wasn't the casino was starting to take over because they wanted to double book the room.
Mm.
And I hated it, to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started WOW Women of Wrestling, the first thing I did was fly to two cities to check on rings.
Mm.
And I went down to Hayseed, Georgia. I love Georgia, especially Atlanta, but I went down there with Selena Majors, and we tested rings for 2 days. And WOW had their two rings made there. And it wasn't, it cost a pretty penny. And I still have them today, those same two rings. And I'm not going to reveal the secret, but they are safe as can be. And the girls love to wrestle in them. Safety is first. So the first thing I did, it's interesting you mentioned that, was make sure safety is a paramount in WOW, because in GLOW it certainly wasn't. And I just didn't, I was 25, I was too young, again, too dumb. I didn't have the authority, once I brought in partners, to just say, stop, we got to fix this. The machine was rolling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The TV's there, the machine is rolling, everything's got to go. There was no time to stop and take the break and get everything fixed. And by the time we went into season two, it was only, you know, that summer, because season one hadn't even aired. No one knows this story either. Talk about Netflix. Why don't you guys already announce you're going to do a second season?
There we go.
I don't know who's over there, but they better get on top of it, because you got the hottest hit on the Sunset Strip called GLOW, mm-hmm. and you got to announce the second season. Well, I was fortunate enough to go to Mr. Rickless down at the Riviera in the bar in the morning, and we would sit there. The bar was our meeting place. It's not drinking, by the way. There's another person that ever had a cocktail, really. So we were there, and I pitched right there. We went to lunch in a booth. I said, we got to start season two now. And he said, we haven't even shown season one yet. It's not even on the air. I said, don't worry. It's going to be a hit. It's going to be the biggest thing that's ever going to hit. There's nothing like it. We got to do it now. If you don't shoot it now to start this machine up again, it's going to cost too much. And we may never get to do it. We shot season two of GLOW before season one ever aired. Now, that's when you have faith in a product.
Yeah.
That's a big gamble.
You got the passion.
That's a big gamble, yeah.
And we did it.
Yeah. I actually tore my ACL on that ring because there was a separation in the mat. So I wasn't even taken out because of a bad move. Like, I didn't get dropped wrong. I mean, we were working very hard to be careful. And then because I was a barefooted wrestler, my heel catches in between two separations in the mat during a headbutt. How embarrassing. The easiest move in the history of wrestling.
Terrible.
And that's blew my ACL. And, you know, thank you for putting me on the POW tour, but there comes a time, and, you know, we don't know what our shelf life is as wrestlers. Right. And so there just comes a time where you just, like, have to bless it for what it is and then release it and then just continue on with your life to see where your next opportunity is going to come from. Mm-hmm. So that's... I didn't mean to get on a soapbox. I'm just an advocate for women in the wrestling business, and I'm, you know, I'd like all of them to have some type of a plan B, David.
Well, that's why you're the big executive VP of Airborne International, selling those products.
That's right.
Making that money.
That's right.
Running that place. Airborne International.
That's right.
Talk about the ultimate empowerment of women.
That's true.
She is putting dollars into women's back pockets and teaching them how to run businesses and have great opportunities.
That's
in
great.
Life. Here's the champ, ladies and gentlemen, the champ.
I love when you do that, David. You know, we were talking on the last podcast about our raps. You had a rap.
Yes.
Do you remember it?
No.
Oh, really? The best mic man in the business doesn't remember his rap.
You know it.
Come on, I'm David McLean, and I'm you.
When Netflix does a second season, or, and I don't know how this place works, but when we release this season four of WOW in October and then season five in November, if you do something here, I'll sing it.
Okay. We'll bring David in for his rap.
And if you get the camera wide angle, I'll do the dance. Or I'll get up here and do the dance.
That can work. That can actually work from
that
camera.
That happen, guys. Yep.
You know, yep. David McLean did skits, too, in the GLOW series. The best skits ever, when you were in the telephone booth and that was your office and you'd have sticky notes. And it was just the talent, David. You weren't just the guy on the mic. And also, if you think about the Bash character, think about all the work that goes on behind the scenes and then have to assume those type of roles in front of a camera as well. I was just 25 years old. My son is 24. I cannot imagine him taking on a project this big.
Well, Steve Blantz did the writing for those sketches. They were excellently written.
Yeah.
And Matt came up with the idea because there were no cell phones back then, of course. None.
Right.
And you had to literally, if you were going to call someone, sit at a desk to call. Or at the Riviera Hotel, you had to walk around and I would have to call the operator and say, can you call someone for me and connect me? And if you went around the Riv, I don't even think they don't have this at all at the hotels anymore because they're cell phones. Every 5 minutes on the loudspeakers
Pager.
At the Riv,
yeah.
We have a phone call for Mr. David McLean. Mr. David McLean, a phone call. So I was constantly going to the phone. I lived on the phone putting all this stuff together. And so Matt had a straw in his mouth and his sweatsuit on and looked and says, we got to do a skit with David on a phone. He lives on the phone. And then Steve was there and wrote some stuff up and I read it. And I said, all right, it made me smile. A couple of them were about Hulk Hogan and his hair. I laughed and I said, all right, that's funny. All right, write them up. So he wrote them up and we went out and shot those out on the Las Vegas Strip. And it was hot as a mug out there.
You were in Vegas a months ago.
Yeah. Vegas is hot.
Yeah, it's hot.
It was hot. So those were fun to do.
Yeah.
And want another little secret?
Yes.
I'm giving you guys too many secrets. I got to save a few. I'll save one more. I'm going to save it. Remind me when we do this again.
Absolutely.
Done.
Oh, my gosh. Well, imagine putting yourself in the 80s. Now you've seen the whole series. You kind of get a feel of what it was like to grow up during that time. Imagine yourself in Las Vegas where, you know, the Rat Pack is still performing or just, you know, they're coming up in age. Yeah. Now, imagine like 25, 30 girls living in the Riviera Hotel. They were feeding us. We had buffet tickets. We had 2 drink tickets a day.
Yes.
I was bringing my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, Mike, there to eat because it was cheaper to eat at the buffet at the Riviera than it was to go shopping for groceries. Were you eating at the buffet?
All the time.
Crazy.
Crazy. If you wanted to find me, if you said, where is David? Where is he? You could always find me every night at Katie's in the cafe. Because I was having a chocolate milkshake.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Is that perfect? Is that so sweet?
Every night I went in there and had I have 2 a night sometimes, a beautiful thick chocolate where the straw just stands up in it. Every night I had a chocolate milkshake.
That is adorable. That is adorable. One last thought, and that is the Mark character who's the Liberty Bell boyfriend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you see issues with boyfriends trying to control or take girls out of your production at all? Were they supportive?
No. I can only remember once clearly, maybe twice with some fog, once clearly a boyfriend coming up to the main office saying something, demanding something, and I said, brother, if you're not out of here in 30 seconds... Security will have you out, and your girlfriend won't be wrestling anymore with us either. So you got 15 seconds, you know. Back then we had watches.
Yeah.
right. So no, we never had an issue with that.
Right. Well, David, I want to thank you so much for coming on.
What do you mean we haven't even talked about Jackie Stallone yet?
We have to.
There's so much to tell. And After Buzz is kicking us out.
I know. Well, what can we tell quickly about Jackie Stallone?
Even me meeting Mark Maron.
Oh,
in L.A.
God.
You didn't hear that.
Oh,
and
nice.
We ran into we each other.
We need a whole segment of just all of this. Like a whole segment of all of this.
We can reschedule
in a hallway, and Mark Maron comes out of a kitchen. We look at each other, and I just said, I can't believe it. And he looks at me, and I said, I'm David McLean. Nice to meet you. And he looks up. I'll tell you what he said on the next After Buzz.
You are great.
Cliffhanger.
And you got Kia Stevens on here doing her own podcast show.
She's amazing.
Awesome Kong. in this house.
Right now.
And her story last week, oh, brought tears to my eyes.
It was unbelievable. It was so with beautiful. Americana.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I called her before Glow had cast to come into Wow Women of Wrestling.
Yeah.
She and I agreed to everything. I sent her an advance payment. She couldn't do it. She got hired for Glow. She called me up and boom, sent me back the money. Aww. Nobody in wrestling does that in this industry.
An amazing person.
And Kia Stevens did it. So bless her. She's a good person.
She's great.
Her best friends from Indiana, Hobart, Indiana, who just moved to Carmel, Indiana, 5 minutes from Indianapolis. And she is going to become an adopted Hoosier.
Awesome. Oh, there you go.
And she's here.
Wow. Amazing. Wow.
What do you mean? What do you mean we're ending? Candace, don't you want to know more? I want to know more. Absolutely.
Damn, we didn't even
talk about season 10's end.
Oh.
When Mark Maron switches it and the girl comes in at the Netflix and gets the crown. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to Netflix and watch Glow. Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. That is our show. Where's the last thing? I'll say, remember,
Glow t-shirt. At Wow Superheroes, tell us you saw Little Egypt, myself, Rick, Candace, After Buzz TV on the Glow After Glow Buzz, and someone's going to get a souvenir.
That's a one of a kind. Absolutely.
At Wow Superheroes. Get on it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Tell your friends. Share the video. All right, you guys. I'm Little Egypt, and you can let me just close out by where you can find us one last time. Little Egypt on at Little Egypt on Twitter. And David?
At Wow Superheroes. And back here when Rick and Candace get us back in Little Egypt.
That's right. Absolutely. Done.
Easy. And thank you guys so much for watching this entire after show of Glow. We've had such an amazing time. Amazing guests. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, my name is Candace Cruz, and you can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
And I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G.
Woo! I thought it was Rick Flair the whole time! Oh, my!
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Bye!
Oh, bye.
That wasn't Rick Flair with us? Oh, my goodness!
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Yes.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.